I have a word for you. So you have to get somewhat near me. Or in the corner is fine. So I can at least see you.
Well, at least it's quiet, so you can talk and everybody will hear you. Pass the
ball to you. Here's what I was thinking of when I was thinking about Justin being gloomy. I remember, it was just a couple weeks ago, Justin and I made a trip up to Sacramento, and we met with his advisors, and we're talking to other leaders up there that were necessary for the program, and just, you know, that thing where you just get kind of things taken care of, and stuff for housing, and it was one of those trips, and we had a good time. And I remember my dad taking me on that trip. I remember going away to my campus and meeting with the dean of my school and making sure I had things lined up for, I had, you know, to work part-time, so I had to kind of secure that. And but it was funny because when we went, we not only took care of school business, but for my dad, I grew up in a Baptist home. The most important thing that my dad could do for me, he thought, was got to make sure that I hook him up with the church, right? So he had no clue about it. It was in L.A. The campus was USC. And the first thing he does is we go on campus, and they had a guy there that ran what was called the Baptist Student Union. Sorry, this is the memory. And I'm thinking, that's a thing, right? And it was this man who ran all the programs for the Baptist kids on the campus. And I'm thinking, who are you? I don't know you. I don't know anything about you. And but by the time my dad's visit was over, you know, it's like, you know, right? I'm hooking you two up. And oh, by the way, he's going to pick you up Sunday for church. I'm thinking, how do you know this guy? And what church, right? But that was the most important thing. And I'm thinking, okay, I get it. That's fine. But today, as Justin goes, I'm thinking, what's my most important thing? If I was to sit here and say, what would I tell you? Right, and because we've spent the last couple years on a journey together, right? So some of you know he went off to ministry school and he and Gabe, and they lived together when they attended ministry school, and then he came home with a heart to add this finance degree under it, and so we've been doing life together with the same kinds of questions. So if you've been in our home church for a while, you know that we've been kind of like fundamentally putting in some like tools in your tool chest, so to speak. In some cases, having to rewire some things, right?
Right.
Maybe we've had a few things about church that sounded a little legalistic and controlling, and God was freshening that up for us, right? And so Justin and I, as part of in our home here, have been enjoying this. The must be more question. There has to be more about God than just this, the legalistic attendance of a church service, than just, did I go to my Bible study group? Did I read my Bible today? Now look, those are good things, but they're good things with a purpose when it connects you with family, when it connects you with Father's heart, when it connects you relationally, when it's intimate, right?
Right.
Anyway, I was thinking, I could resurrect all sorts of instructional things that we've talked about over the last couple of years. But the one thing that just popped to the top of my head, Justin, when I was asking Papa, like, what about Justin? What do you want to say? And I kept hearing the word glory, right? Look, maybe we've done a pretty good job of redefining and helping you understand glory, but when I grew up in church, that was one of those ominous kind of big words that spoke about angels, right? We talked about the glory of the Lord, and for all practical purposes, we kept ourselves separate from it.
Right.
It was a thing out there that was, he's that, and I stink. So my journey is all about, how can I possibly...
not stink.
How can I possibly be there, right? So this is the correction things we've been learning, because here's the thing I would say to you first out of the gate, Justin, is you were made for glory.
Right, yeah.
You were made for glory. In fact, one of the ways, if you're struggling with a thought about glory. How about if I say it this way? Glory is God's expression. Glory, it's God's expression. It's how he unveils himself. It's how he reveals himself. Right? It's how he acts. It's Father reveals it by what he says. Right? It's the glory is that thing that points to him. Glory is that thing that reflects him.
Right.
Glory is that thing that uncovers him. Right? So in Genesis, when it says we were designed, we were created in his image, we were created to be this container, treasure chest, this container of glory,
right,
of his glory. Think about it just for a second, just from that simple thought. You were created to be one who reveals him. Now, Romans 3:23 says something to us. It tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of what?
Glory.
Okay. Now, we've talked a lot about this, Justin, right? This thing of, right, God says you were created in his image, a holder of glory, one who reveals Father. And yet there's something about us that doesn't believe it. The thing that says, I couldn't be. I'm not good enough. I can't be called son. He would never identify me as family because I stink. Right? We think those things. Right? You know, that thinking, that misidentification of who you are is what sin is. So when he says, we have this misidentification thing going on. You're actually a glory container and you think you're worthless. He says, people think that way. I came here to reveal this truth, that you're a glory container. Okay? In fact, Colossians, Paul, he writes, that when you get that revelation of Christ in you, he says that Christ in us is what? Anybody know it? The hope of glory. All of a sudden you realize there's a revelation I have that he's inside of me. I'm created in his image.
Right.
He calls me son for what purpose? A revealer of Father. I'm a glory bomb. Right? So when Paul also, in Romans, when he tells us, Romans 12, 2, right, Justin, we've talked a lot about the renewed mind, right? Can I read it to you? Do not be conformed to this world. What's the world thinking? Over here. I couldn't possibly be. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed as one who believes and sees himself differently. He sees himself in the image as the creation of God. We read out of Ephesians today, one who has a destiny to fulfill in him. One in him, right? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Right? That's the renewed mind. That you would remember, that's who I am.
Right.
We've talked a lot about here in our group about what is the will of God. It's not mysterious. You did it today, by the way, when you loved each other. You did it when you put hands and prayed for the sick. God tells us in his opening of prayer, pray this way, right? About the, you know, our Father art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The will of God is that heaven would touch earth.
Right.
How's he doing it? You.
Right.
Right? That's the transformed mind. We've talked, Justin, about, it's like when we see this, oh, that's what glory is. I need to see myself that way. That's the renewed mind.
Right.
Now we realize, how do I walk that way? How do I live that way? So we've talked many Sundays about everything. Everything. Everything in life is about seeing life from God's perspective.
Right.
The kingdom, the king's perspective. The kingdom perspective, right? Because that's the reality Jesus challenged us to live in. Because over here, we're lied to. Over here, fear controls us. Over here, it's shame and guilt. Over here, it's manipulation. Over here, it's control, right? It's easy to get distracted and fall under that noose, that weight, right? That fear would somehow get a hold of you again. That's why Papa says, perfect love puts you over here. Perfect love casts out fear, right? So our challenge is to live in that perspective. Now, here's what I was thinking about you. You're going up to Sacramento. I didn't know this. They told us when we were up there that it was one of the most diverse colleges in the nation. Didn't know that. I didn't believe it, actually. I had to Google it. And it's in the top. It's near the top, right? The most diverse campuses, which means lots of races, lots of different people groups, lots of different ideologies, different religions, different perspectives of God, right? My old person, my old Danny, in my kind of a controlling legalistic way, would have said, I got something to tell you, you're wrong. You're wrong. And I would immediately divide. I would look at an LGBTQ person and go, wrong, I have nothing to do with you. Mm-hmm. Right? No hug coming from me to you, because you're wrong. We do that. We do that. We immediately divide. We immediately separate. So here's when I'm thinking about this ultra-diverse campus with all these other communities and people groups and thinking about God, right or wrong, here is what I would say about those people. They're made in his image.
Right.
What would I say about them, about the glory of God in them?
They're all over his children.
I'm telling you, it's there. Do they identify with it?
No.
Maybe not yet.
Do they see it? No. You know why? Sin. Not sin, I stink, but sin, you're misidentifying yourself. You don't see yourself as how valuable you are. Right?
Wow.
So when I think about the roommates who you haven't met yet, when I think about the people that are going to be in your classes, that may be confrontive. They may be argumentative. They may challenge you as a white male. You're a target. True. There's a culture that says, especially in this state, there's a target. Hey, white male, you're wrong, right? So they're going to be gunning at you. Here's the thing you get. God, help me see the glory that's in them.
Right.
Right? My job isn't to debate you. My job isn't to argue with you. My job is to, Jesus said it, love you, right? You know what the word for that's called? When you see the glory in somebody else, you identify with it, you connect with it. You know what that word is? Honor. Mm-hmm. Honor is not about you and I agree. Honor's not about, okay, as long as you are on the same page, we're talking about sin, then I'll honor you. From the heaven's perspective, honor says, I'm going to assign the same value to you
right. That
God does.
Right.
That's what honor is. He tells us when we live our life that, when we honor that way, when we connect with the glory that's in another person, he tells us that you yourself will grow from glory to glory. There's a richness inside of you that he expands, right? If you say, I'm loving falling in love with Jesus because here's what I'm doing for him. Can you see what glory to glory looks like? What does a bigger Justin in love with Jesus look like? Mm-hmm. What is a bigger Justin who's in love with the person down the dorm room hallway? What does that look like? So how do we see each other, right? So here's what I know, right? It's kind of like the rules of how that glory to glory works. when I acknowledge who people are, their value, right, it positions me to give them what they need, right? When I see them of value, I don't hesitate to give. When I see that, I don't hesitate to love. I don't hesitate to pray for the pain in your knee. Mm-hmm. I don't hesitate to, oh man, they're struggling right now. Let me take that weight off of you. I don't hesitate. So when I see them who they are, it positions me to give them, right, what they deserve, what God says, right? And from that thing, it positions me now to receive from them, to be loved by them. That one who's confrontive, and can you see the tattooed rainbow flag waving angry person? Can you see that person valuing you, benefiting you, being a friend? Crazy thought. The only way you're going to get there, son, is when you can value them with the appropriate weight of glory that heaven assigns them. When you can appreciate them for the way the Father sees them, right? Your job isn't to debate. It's not to condemn. It's not to convict, but to love. Okay. And the key of all of that is from His perspective, right? I won't get into it, but it's like I was thinking about the adulterous woman, right? John 8. If you want to go read the story of John 8, remember the story of when the Jews, the religious leaders, grab out the adulterous woman. Right? They're trying. You can tell it's a thing. One, they're ultra religious. They're going to get the adulterous woman. But two, we're going to get Jesus at the same time. Right? She did wrong. Agree with us. She did wrong. Throw stones. Do you know when Jesus steps in the gap there for her? Did he step in the gap because she repented? No. Did he step in the path because she agreed with him? She didn't know he was. And by the way, she knew, according to the custom, she was wrong. She had plenty of guilt on her. Clearly.
That's super good.
When Jesus steps in the gap, what's he doing? I know the value that's inside of her. I know how God sees her. I know how Father sees her.
Right.
And that's my number one priority. Right, that's my number one priority, that she would see how loved she is.
Mm-hmm.
It was from that point of being loved that she says to, you know, now all of a sudden she has questions. Who are you? Questions.
Right.
Right? And when he says go and sin no more, can we get out of our head of the religious rulers and see what's he saying? That's not who you are.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This is who you are. That's the go and sin no more. It's not a measuring stick that says, I'll be back to see how you're performing. He's saying, yeah, this isn't you. Right? This is what a scared you looks like. This is what fear does to you.
Right, right, right.
This is what a loved one does. That's what he's telling her. Right? A culture of honor, right, Justin, is always built around what you can give. Always. What can I give? So you're not a taker. You're not a consumer. You're not a victim. You're going up to Sacramento as a giver, right? That's what a culture of honor does. You know that the first time you hear the word honor in the Bible, by the way? It's in Exodus. We quote it all the time.
Honor your father and mother.
Do you know the rest of the verse?
So
it will what?
As God honors you.
So go well with you.
Go well with you. Other translations say give life. So it's like, wow, think about it. We've always, in the past, we like, do what mom says or else. Right? Do what mom says. Do what dad says. And if you don't, you're not honoring me.
Right.
You know what? It's one of the best lessons in the Bible, by the way. It's like, look.
Just honor each other.
Look. See them the way God, they've got a tough job being mom and dad. See them the way God sees them. They might screw up. See them the way God sees them. Right? And there's life. There's a it's like turning the spigot of life on. It's like there's a prosperity, there's an influence, there's a love channel that flows out of you when you learn to do life that way.
Wow.
When you honor, right? When you assign glory the way heaven is, right? Here's some triggers that you can measure yourself, Justin. If you're wondering, how am I doing in this? Are you up on campus looking to be the guy in charge? Like, I'm it. Do what I say. And, right, you're getting your roommates. You're going to have some new roommates up there. Do what I say. And I don't care what you think. Right? Agree with me. You got to agree with me. Or you have some kind of relationship with the rules. If you see that about yourself, I would like to tell you that's an evidence of lack of honor. That's not what honor looks like. When your heart is about life, when your heart is about nurturing, when your heart is about bringing healing, when your heart's about bringing restoration, when your heart is about this intent to revitalize, to the intent to heal, right? When my heart is, who said joy when we were praying words over, right?
Fun.
That's it. The fun word. When your heart is that, right? When your heart is, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do? What is it you're saying? When your heart is, Holy Spirit, I trust what you're doing in that person. I don't have to be in control of that person. I trust what you're doing. When my heart is, I acknowledge the value that's in them. Right? When you see humility, right? When I'm walking in humility, when I enjoy freedom, right? That's what honor looks like, right? Honor always calls out the gold in someone. How about we say it that way? Honor is always calling out the gold in another person, right? So there's two verses I have for you. One is, I have them on my iPad, so I'm going to look it up real quick. One is Hosea. Two verses and we'll end. Okay. I'm bad at my Old Testament when I get to the
Isaiah, Jonah.
There it is.
No.
Yeah, it's not a big. It's not big.
From the Psalms, it's like in your
head. All right. So two verses for you, right? The first one is Hosea 10, verse 12.
Subject to my kids.
Right. First verse I have for you, Justin, Hosea 10, verse 12. Sow for yourselves, like plant for yourselves, righteousness. We've talked a lot about righteousness, right? Mm-hmm. and by the way, righteousness is seeing yourself as a glory carrier. Righteousness is about seeing the other person as a glory carrier. Righteousness isn't a rules thing. Righteousness is self-identifying as a man in right standing with Father, as a man who says, I'm his son. That's what righteousness is, right? Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord. Till he comes and rains righteousness on you. Right? Seek the Lord till he, because here's the thing, you're growing in this identification as a man who carries glory. You're growing in it. You're waking up to it. The enemy's always challenging you. He's always bickering at you. He's always lying to you. He's always trying to deceive you. Steal, kill, and destroy. Get you out of this identifier. Put you back over here in fear. So seek him until he reigns and washes all that other thinking off and plants you firmly in righteousness. Seek him. And my last verse is Luke 11:9. I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. If you look, every time you knock, son, it's going to open. Every time his word says it. And every time you seek him, what's the promise?
You'll find him.
You'll find him. There you go.
So both of those relate with you become what you behold.
Right.
You become what you behold.
You become what you behold.
You sow into righteousness, you'll reap righteousness. Right? That's a word, by the way, for every one of you. It's a word for every one of you. Right? We're learning your glory carrier. Your glory bombs. You're created in His image. Are we waking up to it? Yes. Do we forget it some mornings? Yes. Do we choose poorly some days? Yes. We fall on our face. He never takes the label away.
Right.
Son, daughter.
Right.
He never takes it away. Ever takes it away. The only one who's struggling with his identification? Us.
Right?
Right?
I thought you were going to say you.
Me. The devil's never turned off his bag of tricks.
Right.
But it's a one-trick show.
Right.
Yes. That's it. So we say, Father,
thank you
for Holy Spirit.
Yep.
Because you remind us of what's
true.
Right.
You convict our hearts of what's true. You get us off the fear game and you put us back into love. So we trust you, Holy Spirit. Speak to our hearts, speak to our minds. When we get confused, we look to Jesus. We look to the cross.
Thank you.
Right? So we ask for more.
Right.
We ask for a revealing of your glory in us. Reveal it. Shine us up. Polish us, God. We want more in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.